I'm trying to get you as many perspectives as I possibly can. Here is another one, one I respect greatly. He's an NFL Network analyst. He had a 12-year career in the National Football League as a player and a scout. The founder of Big Play Football, host of the Move the Sticks podcast, along with Daniel Jeremiah. The head coach at Granada Hills Charter High School. You can follow him on Twitter at Bucky Brooks. NFL Network is going to provide live coverage of the 2019 NFL Scouting Combine March 1st through the 4th, starting at 9 a.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Eastern on Saturday. Bucky Brooks is my guest. Bucky, great to have you back. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
Always good to have you. Let me jump right into it. Let me start at quarterback with you. You recently tweeted that Dwayne Haskins is the number one quarterback in this year's class. What have you seen from him that makes you say that?
Oh, he's a fantastic player, Jim. When you watch him play, he plays the game the way that the top quarterbacks have played in the league for the last 20 to 30 years. He is an outstanding pocket passer. He has a big arm. He can make every throw that you want to see, but he also can throw with finesse. He can throw with touch, timing, and anticipation. He has a high football IQ, and he is a guy that, despite only playing 1 year as a starter, this guy put up remarkable numbers, 50 touchdowns, only 8 interceptions, plays the game the right way. I think for most teams who want to have a pocket passer, someone that can kind of play it in a very traditional fashion, Dwayne Haskins is the guy that checks off all the boxes. And it'd be interesting to see, after he spends it at the combine, what the conversation is coming out of Indy prior to opposed to what it was going into Indianapolis.
Bucky Brooks joining us. You know, one more thought about that. When you watch him, what do you make of the way he handles things when the protection breaks down? Do you like that from him?
No, you know, there's a lot of people that talk about, like, look, he's not a mobile guy. He doesn't have the athleticism. But I think the maker of the elite quarterbacks understand what's coming, and they figure out a way to get rid of the ball. And I'm not saying that this kid is going to come in and automatically be Tom Brady or Peyton Manning. But when you see how Tom Brady and Peyton Manning were able to evolve their games later in their careers, it's because they understood how the defense was attacking, and they were able to answer it by getting the ball out quickly into the hands of the playmakers. I think Dwayne Haskins in time is going to be that kind of player. He is going to be a guy that dissects the defense during the pre-snap phase and absolutely picks apart defenses once the ball is snapped, because he understands exactly where to go to the ball, go with the ball, and he does it in spectacular fashion.
Bucky Brooks, NFL media analyst, also played and scouted in the NFL for a number of years. Bucky, then, of course, there is Kyler Murray. What is the biggest question about him that you're looking to have answered at the combine?
I mean, the biggest question everyone's going to have is, what does he measure in at? Like, how tall is he? How much does he weigh? We saw Peter King reported that he was 206 pounds the most recent time that he had been weighed. Whether he comes in at 5'10 or a shade under 5'10, he is what he is. But what I can tell you is, when I pop in the tape, you won't find many football players that are better than him. What he does with the ball in his hands is dynamic. He's explosive. He can win inside or outside the pocket. He is a guy that, look, when you look at his numbers compared to Baker Mayfield's numbers at Oklahoma in the same system with the same coach, the numbers are comparable, but Kyler Murray gives you a little more explosiveness as a runner. Based on how Baker Mayfield played his first year in the league, I think there's something to say that, look, Kyler Murray can come in the league, and in the right system with the right coach, he can absolutely light it up. But you have to be willing to kind of build your offense around what he's able to do.
We're talking to Bucky Brooks. Bucky, you know how front offices work. So do you think teams will look at Murray and see the potential and the types of things you're talking about right here? Or are they going to look and see the concerns and not want to take that risk?
I think ultimately it depends on how comfortable you are in your situation. A long-tenured general manager who has a lot of pelts on the wall, he could take a Kyler Murray and know that if Kyler Murray doesn't work out, it won't necessarily affect or impact his reputation as an evaluator. The thing that general managers like to do is they want to make sure that they don't mess it up, that they just kind of hit it down the fairway, that they don't take necessarily risks. And the best way to do it is to go after guys who check off all the boxes when it comes to the prototypes. He's not a prototypical quarterback, but what he is an excellent quarterback. And if you match him up, he and Dwayne Haskins versus some of the other guys in the class, if you just look at the tape, Kyler Murray outplays all of them. And I think the conversation is, who would you prefer first, Kyler Murray or Dwayne Haskins? Because it's not a debate with the other guys in my mind.
about you, Bucky? When you look at those two guys, I understand they're very different players, but who would you rather have first if that were your pick?
You know, it's tough because depending upon the offense, if I'm the Arizona Cardinals and say I was looking for a quarterback, Kyler Murray would be the guy because Cliff Kingsbury has had experience with those kind of quarterbacks, and he said he would take him number one. But if you ask me for the overwhelming majority of teams, I would take Dwayne Haskins. I think Dwayne Haskins is the classic, prototypical quarterback that most teams covet. I don't understand why the conversation hasn't been about him being a terrific prospect and maybe one of the best prospects that we've seen in the position. But I will tell you, I think the kid is special, and I think he's going to do special things in the league.
So, Buck, if you were the Cardinals and you had Josh Rosen, would you feel like we already have our franchise quarterback, or is Murray so special that he's too special to pass up, even if you've got Rosen?
I think it would be a situation where Murray's too special in the scheme that they're going to use under Cliff Kingsbury to pass up. Look, I think this kid is a remarkable player. Obviously, he won the Heisman Trophy, and you saw the numbers that he was able to put up. But there are people that will tell you going all the way back to high school that he may have been the best high school football player in the state of Texas based on what he was able to do as a three-time state champion at Allen High School. This kid is good. And when he dedicates himself to being a football player full-time, which is what he will do going forward, I think the ceiling is tremendous. I think he has an opportunity to really be a star in the league.
Bucky Brooks joining us. Now, taking a step back and looking at the combine overall, you and Daniel Jeremiah, Bucky, had a really interesting conversation on your podcast about technology and the combine. You know, as you take that step back, what kind of role can you see technology playing in the combine in the coming years?
It's going to continue to play a huge role in the way that guys are scouting these prospects. And I know we're kind of old school in the way that we compile the numbers. We do 40 times and short shuttles and verticals and all those things. And traditionally, we've done those things on stopwatch as well. With the GPS technology that is now available, you can track and monitor how explosive guys are. You can do things when you're compiling data for the prototypes that are succeeding in the league when it comes to measuring that data. I just think as we continue to get comfortable with the analytics and the metrics and the data that is now available, they're really good football minds are going to be able to find ways to bridge that information with the intel of scouting and looking at tape and find a way to really narrow the focus when it comes to the really good players that are in each draft.
We are talking to Bucky Brooks. I've got a couple of quick things for you, Bucky, before I let you go that I really am curious about. Your colleague Maurice Jones-Drew asked you if the Steelers will have a winning season next year without Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. I mean, talent is a key, obviously, to success in the NFL, but so is having chemistry and making the pieces fit together. How do you see that offense next year without the two of them?
A lot of it depends on Ben Roethlisberger and his ability to step back and allow the Steelers to play the best way that they need to play to win games. Meaning, without AB and without Le'Veon Bell, this is a team that may not be as explosive or as dynamic as it has been the last 4 or 5 years. Will Ben Roethlisberger be willing to check his ego at the door and play like maybe the Patriots had to play when they decided at the end of the year that the best way for them to win was to run the ball, play a little more ball control, and kind of shrink the game by running and salting the game away? If Roethlisberger is willing to do that, then they certainly can win games. But I think this is really kind of a critical situation, not for the players, but for Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin has an opportunity to regain control of his locker room. This could be the reset that the Seattle Seahawks were able to do last year under Pete Carroll. Will Mike Tomlin orchestrate that kind of reset where he blows out AB? He knows that Le'Veon Bell is not going to be there. He takes the reins back from Ben Roethlisberger, and he says, this is how the Steelers are going to play. This is my team, and I'm going to put my thumbprint on this team. We'll see if he's willing to do that.
Hey, Bucky, makes sense, right? But then you had the GM saying last week that Ben Roethlisberger was more than right to call out his teammates, that if they were smart, the, quote, 52 kids that Ben has to play with should be looking at Ben because he's the one with the rings. So do you think Tomlin will try to rip that control back to Ben? Or what's going on when the GM is saying Ben's got it right, actually?
You know, Ben has ultimately gotten the pass. And I know people come at me because they say I always give Ben a hard time. But I think when you look at the quarterbacks that are the ultimate leaders and winners in this league, they're the ones that kind of understand when they need to be selfless, when they need to make sure that they put more on them when it comes to taking the blame. They also know how to elevate their players, not only through playing, but through the way that they lead. I think the thing with Ben Roethlisberger, everyone wants to see on your chest, but are you willing to do the things that really make you a captain? Are you willing to privately instruct those guys and elevate them while publicly continue to praise them? You don't criticize people in an open forum. Leadership is not how you do it in the presser. Leadership is what you really do to help your teammates become better players. I don't know if he has that in him, but if he wants to accomplish these things that he says that he wants in terms of being a champion, he is going to have to think about changing his leadership style, because the way that he's doing it now certainly doesn't endear him to his peers.
Bucky, you sound like a coach, and the reason for that is you are a coach. I mentioned it off the very top. You are the new head football coach at Granada Hills Charter High School. I think that's absolutely awesome. Given how busy you are with your media career and everything else you have going on, why was that something that was so important to you, and how excited are you to do this job?
Hey, I'm really excited about it. I've been coaching in the L.A. area for 10 years. I spent 10 years at Notre Dame High School in Sherman Oaks. I think it's best known for Justin Fargus played there. And so I had an opportunity to play, to coach there. I was offensive coordinator last year, but I've always had a desire to be a high school coach. My dad is a high school coach. My high school coach in North Carolina is probably one of the best to ever do it in North Carolina. So I always wanted to see if their recipes and their formulas will work at the high school level. Plus, being around so many great coaches in the National Football League, from Tom Coughlin to Marv Levy, Mike Holmgren, John Gruden, Marty Schottenheimer, I want to see if some of those things that I learned from those guys would work on the high school level, while also having an opportunity to really shape and influence and develop young people. It's a terrific opportunity to go back to John Elway's high school and see if we can orchestrate a little change and see if we can do some things that would be great in the city.
Hey, Bucky, I absolutely love this thing, and I know the schools you're talking about. I love that you're taking this on, but I'm blown away that you're doing it in the 818. I'm from the 818. I wonder when you're going to work your way back to my alma mater, Calabasas High School.
Well, one of my best friends is coaching at Calabasas, Chris Claiborne. He's the head coach there. He's done a terrific job of kind of elevating their program. And so I may not be able to get to your old program, but is in good hands with my guy, Chris Claiborne. I'm hoping that we can kind of create our own legacy at Granada Hill, and we can make John Elway and some of the other guys that have been Highlanders proud.
Hey, Bucky, I know you got your own thing going, but just really quickly about Claiborne, you're right. I mean, I know that he's the guy there right now. Understand that when I went there, we were not real proud of the football program. It's amazing what he has done. How did a guy like that see possibility at a school where there really had never been any kind of success before? Why would he go there and do that?
Well, you know, like, I think the thing, and really, in all fairness, I'm going to give credit to Rick and Casey Clawson, because they
yes,
really took it
that's
from
true.
One level and elevated. Chris has gone in, and he's, look, we all, as former players, like, we all love the game, and coaching is the ultimate give back. And then when Chris and I have talked, we've talked about trying to show young people how to do it the right way, trying to build the program the right way. We all are in it to kind of scratch the competitive itch. But we also are trying to live vicariously through our players. The closest thing to playing is coaching. And so when you see young people accomplish certain things on the field and away from the field, it makes you feel proud. I think Chris and I share the same vision. And I think for both of our respective programs, we would like to see those programs elevated and respected and kind of talked about when our time comes and goes.
I love it, and I love seeing you guys in the 818 doing your thing. The NFL Network is providing live coverage of the 2019 NFL Scouting Combine March 1st through the 4th, starting at 9 a.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Eastern on Saturday. Bucky Brooks in the middle of this whole thing. And remember to follow him at Bucky Brooks on Twitter. He is the coach of Granada Hills Charter High School. Bucky, thanks for hanging in there, spending so much time with us, and great to have you back on.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on, Jim.
Love talking to you, Bucky. Well done. You and DJ both. How about that? Bucky Brooks coaching at John Elway's High School. It's a lot of good coaching talent in the 818. Hashtag 818.